Everyone, welcome to More Than Mises, guys. We're going in episode 2 countdown of Robotech this week. And I'd like to welcome my co-hosts, Ed and Jehu. Guys, glad to see you.
I skipped over the whole intro. You just edited
I did
it
not
down.
Skip the whole intro. I don't do the intro like we did like during Transformers. I don't have an intro done for Robotech. I will get one together for you, man. This is like us watch Robotech, man. It's cool. It's Transformers adjacent in a way.
We need the music.
And we really don't have a dissemination on this. It's like it's Ed's favorite thing. And then, you know, me and you both like it quite a bit.
Yeah, dude, I'm cool with it. Now, Ed, this is your thing you've been talking about. This is the whole thing. Like, Ed wanted to do this for a long time. And I was like, yeah, we'll do it. You'll do it. Ed comes like, can we like do all, off and on weeks? Like, oh, yeah, totally, man. I completely forgot because, you know, apparently I can't keep like three things going at the same time in my head. So,
Ed, you mentioned a theme song, and I know this wouldn't be able to be it because of, you know, money and rights and stuff. But are you familiar with the Swerve Driver song "Kill the Superheroes"?
I am. I was very late to Swerve Driver, and only because you and Zach give me a hard time about not having never heard them. But that's a great song.
Well, I mean, you know, it's got the, you know, grab a case of Z, Mexicano, ape sex, Ray D, you know, lines in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured you would like that. But
I
swear he says Skull Eater in it. The lyrics don't say that, but I'm positive he says Skull Eater.
I'll have to take a listen to it again. Because I mean, any excuse to listen to Swerve Driver is fine. But I mean, both of us play guitar. I mean, we can just rip off those chords and make it an original song.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'm not against having rip off live jams as a music for this. Yeah. I actually was starting to go through my my royalty free catalog and seemed like it just, I don't know, I'm trying to find something that kind of like lends itself to Robotech.
You know, I actually composed a song for More Than Meets These Guys, and I never did anything with it. I did like a synthwave song, and I never did anything with it.
Did you like ever tell me this?
I think I hinted it, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
Dude, I'm a guy. You don't hint things at me. You tell me.
I think I said something. About, I don't know. But you know something. Let me. I need to clear something up though, because like episode before last, I was hyping up the chicken ice cream, and I never followed through about the chicken ice cream. I ate the chicken ice cream, and it's delicious. Y'all get the chicken ice cream. It's fantastic. It's very good.
I need to find some now because you showed us pictures of the chicken ice cream. And,
I did send you guys pictures, but I was going back and listening to that old episode, and it was in like the first third of the episode was me raving about having chicken ice cream after dinner.
Just because,
and then you immediately got off the podcast and posted about it on Instagram. You were very excited about the chicken ice cream.
I was very excited about the chicken ice cream, and it was good. It was good. Everybody. Let's see, what was funny. I bought four. I bought one for everybody, and my son and I ate ours at the same time, and we were just like, "This is great." My daughter had hers, and it took my wife like 3 days to eat her chicken ice cream. She wasn't as excited about it as everybody else, but she loved it. So
you must have those households where people actually leave your stuff alone if you leave it in there for more than a day, because that doesn't happen here.
I was about to say, because it was like my son was like, I think he like shark eyes on it every time he'd go in the freezer. He's like, chicken ice cream in there. Like, mom better get on that. So, something else I need to clear up though is that, episode one of this, I said that I had been feeling a little ill, I was coming down feeling a little ill, but, Jehu, you really caught me off guard, when you compared Captain Global to Edward James Olmos, because and this is a little thing that I've been keeping in my pocket for a while, but I was going to keep for until later on, but I'm just going to go ahead and let it out now because it ties in. But so that comparison is very accurate, but also Edward James Olmos played Commander Adama on the Battlestar Galactica reboot, which
that's
is
true,
is 100% the same character. But also, when that show came out, I pitched it to all my friends. I'm like, hey, this is as close as you're gonna get to live action Robotech,
right?
Because it essentially was like the whole like first and second season of that were essentially like the Macross saga,
with a ship
go into space, spoiler alert, we have a ship and we go away into space, we're lost and we have to find our way back and fight this overwhelming enemies
with light pretty heavy Mormon undertones.
I don't think that the reboot was nearly as Mormon
I
as
don't.
this one.
Well, you know, the reboot, I pay more attention to that one than the original one. It was very,
Spoiler,
very
it's a
much.
better show than the original one, and
Well, yeah, dude, come
I'll
on.
fight any graybeard on that.
Well, I mean, in that it's a show. You know what I'm saying? Like the original one was, and I, man, I loved that when I was a kid, but trying to watch it as an adult,
It's not
and
good.
I also love TV from that era where something happens in this episode that has, we're just reset to the beginning at the next episode. Like nothing ever affects anything. I
Oh, yeah.
love that kind of TV, but I don't know if it worked for that show. But you know, Dirk Benedict's good to look at.
Dirk, yeah, I mean, he was cool, and he showed up in the reboot, and
Right.
I think that straight up that Battlestar Galactica reboot is light years, pun intended, better than the original.
I do think that between that and Lost in the ID in the oddies, we never need any more sci-fi that's faith versus science.
I
We
don't know, man.
covered that.
Yeah.
Like
Well,
it, like with that, what was it? 300 hours of that in the oddies?
no.
We've got that covered. There's nothing else to say on the
Yeah,
subject.
you're not wrong.
Well, I mean, there's Dune.
Well,
Right.
dude, that's not an audio thing. That's a long-lived thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
Second of all, like I often talk about cool cities in cartoons that we watch.
yeah, right.
So something that I missed in the last, I didn't really miss it. I forgot to note it, but again, in my feverish brain, I forgot to talk about it. Was that when Rick is crashing through the city? I was like, oh yeah, it's a cool looking city, but there's nothing notable. There was something notable. There was a he crashes through a building called Nue, or Nue, Nue, which is the name of the production company that made Macross in
All right,
Canada.
cool. So he crashed the production company. Cool,
He
cool,
crashed in
cool.
production company, right?
Well, spoiler, not all he crashes.
In subsequent episodes we'll get more into the production of Macross, but because as I said before, there's tales there. So but so to add on more to what I said last week, so let's do a little get a little more into some Robotech history lesson here. So like I said before, the history and production is a giant mess, and I just can't dump too much info at one time. So breaking it up. The thing with Robotech is that it's a Japanese anime import. And even though I say in the Japanese version, like quite often, that's not accurate because there isn't a one-to-one translation. This
Right.
is not a one-to-one translation of anything from Japan. So and like we said before, we're covering the first part of Robotech in this, which is the Macross Saga, which was adapted from the Japanese show Super Dimension Fortress Macross, which is it's a silly name, but I love saying it, so I
Right.
will absolutely say that.
Yeah.
So, but the reason that there are three parts of Robotech is that we enter Carl Masyk, who we've talked about on the show before, because friend of the show Mike Hill. Worked with Carl Masyk doing a translation of the movie Cobra, which ended up being the animation for Matthew Sweet's girlfriend video.
Which is awesome animation. Good.
Yeah, which is yeah, a
And
very,
a
very.
great song, man. A
Oh, thank you.
banger. Fantastic song.
Matthew Sweet's is amazing, like
Yeah. Oh,
all
yeah.
around. So anyway, this Carl Masyk guy was working for the company Harmony Gold, who were like a production company. And fun fact, do you know what their big project was before they landed Robotech?
I think I know this, but I'm
I've
not,
heard
I'm
it. I
drawing
can't
a blank.
remember.
Shaka Zulu. They made Shaka Zulu.
That was a huge thing, man.
So they made Shaka Zulu, and then Carl Masyk pitched wanting to import Macross. He wanted to sell Macross as a series into syndication over here, which is okay, cool. That's cool. He wanted to just translate it one to one, but the problem there was that it's only 36 episodes, and at the time to have a show in syndication in the US, you had to have I think it was 65 is what you had to
Yeah.
have.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was 52, but 65 sounds about right.
It
Yeah,
was,
we were.
I think it was 65 because it was
Okay.
or something like that. It was some number like that.
Yeah.
But it was more than they had for Macross. So So they were doing this on a shoestring budget, so they couldn't afford to animate more episodes of this or to commission new animation. So what he did instead was he acquired, and I'm using that word very loosely here, the rights to two other unrelated shows, and then wrote an overarching story that tied those three things together, which the second part was Super Dimension Cavalry Southern Cross, the third part being Genesis Climber Mospeda. And if you really want to nerd out, I'll tell you the acronym for Mospeda. Because I knew, Evan, I knew you were gonna hit me asking me what Mospeda stood for. So.
I'm actually really cool about that because I know we're going to get into it eventually, but it's some of the things I wanted to kind of touch on, like the things I wondered about, you know what I mean?
Oh,
Things,
yeah.
because I always liked it. I was never like a giant fan. Like I had friends growing up when I was younger who were huge fans who followed it like the soap opera that it is, and
Right.
who fell off during the Robotech Masters and came back during Mospeda.
God,
So
that's everybody, isn't it?
I think it is.
Like, it is everybody. Like, Master's just like whatever, and then you come back for Mospeda.
From Mospeda. I'll tell you that like I when the when they were doing the when ADV was doing the DVD releases in the early 2000s, I bought all the Macross Saga like individually as like the day they were coming out. Like I was like walking over to like GameStop and or Babbage's and buying them off the rack.
30 bucks for a couple episodes.
It was $20 for six
Okay, I
episodes.
can't
It
remember. I had
was
one of those.
six DVDs with six episodes each, which was pretty handy, because that's way better than two episodes on a VHS tape for $40 back in the 90s. But
Exactly.
when Master started coming out, I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get this. And then eventually I ended up getting the box set for New Generation or Mospeda, and I never bought Southern Cross. And but the thing is like a couple of years ago, they all went on sale on iTunes. It was like every part was like $5.
Right.
It's like, oh man, I'm absolutely buying Macross Saga for $5. So like, bought that, and then I was like, I should probably go ahead and get New Generation 2 because I like that one. So I was like, I'll go ahead and get that. And then I was like, should I get Masters? Like, should I get Southern Cross? Should I get Southern Cross? It was $5. It was $5, and I was like, I started texting my friends. I'm like, should I buy this? Like, and I ended up buying it just out of completion's sake, just to have
Right.
it, just so the episodes would line up correctly. And
Well, I should say, I don't even know if it's not as good as the other two. I just think because I was a kid and if I remember correctly, the main character was a girl, right?
Dana
Main character
Sterling.
was
Was a girl, yes. It
yes.
was
Yeah. And so, I mean, it just wasn't interested in me because I was a kid and I needed to see myself in it. Yeah.
yeah, that's valid. And I was talking to a friend of the show, Rob, and he said that he didn't like it because the mech designs were really bad. And I can't really fault him for that. But see,
Yeah.
here's the thing though, is that like I said that those shows were unrelated. Those three shows were all unrelated. That's not entirely true, because Mospeda, New Generation Mospeda actually is completely unrelated. That's a totally separate
Right.
company, totally separate whatever. Southern Cross actually is a sort of sequel to Macross. It's not a direct sequel, but it's made by the same production company. And there is a very loose trilogy of the Super Dimension. So there was
Right.
Super Dimension Fortress Macross. There was Super Dimension Century Orgus was the second part.
Oh,
And
okay.
Southern Cross was the was that's why it's Super Dimension Cavalry Southern Cross.
Oh,
So some of the same production companies, and there are actually, if you look, it's one of those things where if you look real close in the backgrounds of some episodes, you're like, oh, there's a ship from that show, from the other show, is in this one. And that's really all the crossover there is. And because remember, the main character in this, no spoilers here, but the main character in Southern Cross is, or in Robotech the Masters, is the daughter of
Maximilian.
two characters from Macross. But not in Southern Cross. As a matter of fact, Southern Cross takes place on a completely different galaxy. So it's in place. So yeah.
I didn't realize that Orgus was part of all that. That's kind of neat.
Ed, I know you know that my band's name is the Deadly Fist of Kung Fu. You may
Yes.
not know that Zach and insists that our full name is No
There's
Man
no
Can
man
Stand
can
Against the
stand me.
Deadly.
Yeah, which is
Well,
the
I
which is
insist that our full name is Super Dimension Fortress. No man can stand against the deadliest of Kung Fu.
I need that on a shirt, dude.
Is this
I'll wear that on the pod.
Well, you'd need that on two shirts.
how long have you been saying this? How long
A
have you been?
couple years, a few years now.
Oh, good, very good. Well, cool. I'm actually coming to actually this. I think this weekend I'm coming to hang out with you guys anyway. So,
Well,
I'm
you're
gonna have to
not
push that.
because practice got canceled, but soon you're coming to hang out with us.
Well, or well, I was. So,
Right.
all
Yeah,
right.
it's funny because we the last time we practiced, because you know, Tim comes sometimes and I was like, hey man, you know, I was saying to Zach, hey, why don't you ever ask Zach Ed to come to practice? And he was like, man, why don't you ever ask Ed to come to practice? Which is a valid point. But
Sure.
I think you would agree that he's the more social component of the Deadly Fist of Kung Fu. He was at
Well,
one point the most popular teenager in America.
that's true, but it
And
also,
I've always been a bit of a hermit.
well, he and I also have this thing where like we'll text each other all day long for 3 days, and then I just won't talk to him for like 2 weeks, which is
Right.
but it also that is also how I interact with literally everyone I know, so it's not like a
Right.
unique thing to him. So,
Right.
but anyway, hey, you know what? Episode two countdown. Let's go in episode two countdown. I don't even have a segue for this. Let's just do
I
this straight up.
should have a disclaimer to this one. So a little telling the audience how the sausage is made. We were supposed to record this 2 days ago. So I watched this 2 days ago. And I was gonna watch it again today, but all of my DVD players are in the back of the house, and I needed to be in the front of the house because I was having a guitar delivered today. So I never didn't get to watch it again. And right before we started, I looked at my notes and they make zero smurfing sense to
Oh,
me.
this is
So
gonna be great.
hopefully, as we talk about this, context will help me remember what I was
Well,
saying.
this is gonna be amazing. So, but you had the like the modern, you know, like last episode we talked about how like I couldn't watch this show for a long time because my TV didn't get that channel. But you had the modern version of that where you don't have a DVD player in the front of the house, only the back of the house has the DVD player. This is amazing. This is great. This is great. You know that they're all on YouTube though. I don't know if you knew that or not.
I mean, I know that now that you're saying it. Now that you say that, I know that.
Oh,
Like, you
okay.
know,
Not to call you out, JD.
when Gabriel Byrne notices all the things on the wall and he realizes that everything from Kaiser Sose's story came from the wall, you know, in The Usual
Oh, yeah.
Suspects. That's
Yes.
what's happening right now. Now that
Okay.
you said that, I was like, oh, I knew that the whole time,
Okay.
but I didn't know I know that the whole time.
Well, now you know that you know it. So,
Right.
No, spoiler, like 2 weeks ago, I guess, not really spoiler. Yeah, he said the same thing, which, man, like YouTube's like my go-to. Like, I don't want to pay for this. I wonder if it's on YouTube somewhere. So, yeah. By the way, I was really excited when I looked over because I don't own a lot of original, Robotech figures. I just don't because they were the thing I collected. There's one Battaloid I had to have, and I sought out and I got it, you know. I got the box somewhere too, but I cannot wait for this guy to show up, the Spartan, because they're gonna like blow up like 20 an episode because they're just fodder.
So actually, Evan, he's actually called the Defender. The Spartan is the Americanized name.
Yeah, I got the Matchbox box that says Spartan on it, bud. I love it. It's just like it's a ridiculous thing. It's like, here, I'm gonna open my arms and shoot out 1,000 missiles. That's all I'm gonna do.
The
I'm done.
Macross missile swarm. Yeah, that's how it works. So,
Yeah, I'm excited about that. I looked over last week. I'm like,
that
oh,
is a very cool. That's a very cool. That is actually a very cool thing. I love that. All those Battaloid designs are cool.
oh
But
yeah, and just
I see
like
what
a
else
lot
is
of,
cool.
yeah, well, like just like any other Battaloid, if you get burglarized, you can chunk that someone's head and probably give them a concussion. So
They are solid
better.
metal. They are solid die-cast metal.
They are heavy, dude. Yeah. Anyways.
Well, you know, first off, solid recap at the beginning of this. I was like, why did I even watch the first episode?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, because we said in the last episode that it didn't have a lot of what makes Robotech Robotech and what makes
Right.
Robotech. And But yeah, so yeah, I mean, really, that episode should have been kind of packaged with this one. But yes, that recap actually does, it basically tells that story perfectly. And
Right.
once again, the intro rules. Like, we
Yeah.
need to talk about that. But something else I want to talk about here. And I want to go ahead and get this. This is another little cat in the bag thing that I want to go ahead and get out here. But so watching the opening credits, Robert Barron is listed as a supervising director. He was a pretty critical guy with Harmony Gold and with Robotech in general. But do you know what else this guy has done? Do you guys have any inkling who this guy is?
I
I know
don't.
the name.
Name.
Okay.
I said that I recognize, but I don't know why.
So he did a lot of, he was a TV actor back in the 60s and the 70s. He was on like Gunsmoke and those kinds of shows.
All
But
right on, then I've definitely seen him.
you have seen him. He acted under a different name. He had like Christian Anderson, I think was his screen name. But
Right.
here's the bomb though. Here's the most amazing thing of all time. Is that 4 years after Robotech, he was in a movie and he played Abraham Lincoln in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Oh,
Yes.
that's awesome.
I
Four
told you
hours and 7 minutes ago.
you would have never guessed that.
No, I would not have. That's true.
You would
That's
have never guessed
great.
that. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Anyways,
Party on, dudes.
yeah. Dude, okay, the whole episode starts out though with Rick Hunter, like in the middle of a town and through three buildings. And he's terrible.
Oh, he
I
seems
just want to
awful. He's the
say,
worst.
I love how much of this episode was just a bricked giant robot and like the neighbors around it complaining about it. I
Yeah,
mean,
because
essentially, the first half of this episode is like a zoning issue.
they were so mad at this giant robot. This dude's trying to like, there's like a truck driver, and he's angry at Rick because he's like, "Hey, you're blocking this delivery. I'm trying to get this delivery to the military." Like,
And dude,
and then.
it causes Jason to be a little jerk too.
Dude, Jason is not playing in this episode.
When Jason has low blood sugar, he's a menace.
Did he ever get the soda? Did he get the soda
I
left?
don't think he ever
He
did. That's why
didn't.
he
That's why he's a
continues being a
menace.
menace.
Dude,
He's like, I
this
want to go
kid's like,
upstairs and look at this giant robot. You can't go
dude, this
anywhere.
kid, his kid's like Mike Muir from Suicidal Tendencies, man. He just wants that Pepsi, and nobody will give it to
If he
him.
just came a soda out of the robot soda machine, this would have been all been averted, man.
I know, man. We probably wouldn't even have had Zentradi attacking. We just would have been like a, it just would have been like a Chinese restaurant soap opera.
That's the moment we're split off into this Zentradi attack. It's his fault.
We get a bridge scene here, and Glovo just treats this whole thing like a giant chess match. This dude is ice cold. He has zero emotion. He's just like, oh yeah, see, they're doing this. Yep, and now we're gonna do this. Yep, and now this is gonna happen. I'm like, dude, this is great. He is so calculating, and like he's like a hitman. He's great.
Can we just stop for a second and appreciate, as the kids say, the drip of Captain Global? That dude looks good with that huge hat and
That
that
hat is
coat. It just, he looks so
perfect.
good. Henry Global.
I'm
Him
gonna be a
and like,
dissenter here. I kind of came from this episode feeling like that maybe the captain has a little bit of low self-esteem.
you think so?
Like at one point he asked them to do something and they told him a reason why they couldn't. And his response was, I understand. Thanks.
Well, he gets browbeaten by the mayor a lot.
Oh, the senator.
okay, now another note's making on here because I just wrote this guy. And it was
Captain
about
Global,
the
you should launch. We want to show off this great fortress. Why aren't you
mayor.
flying? He's like,
That was a yeah that was a like a but right before that happened though, there was kind of a cool scene of them launching these helicopters
oh, yeah.
at these
Yeah.
because there's all these Zentradi battle pods like in the water, and they kind of pop up. They look like big like light bulb ostriches
They
is the
kind
best way to
of
describe these things. But they're really cool and weird, and I like these things, but they just totally house these choppers. These helicopters just totally get destroyed. They're like,
Right.
these don't, they don't have Robotech or anything in them, so they can't even, Robotechnology, so they can't even stand up to these like particle beam cannons or whatever these
Yeah,
things are.
they're just regular helicopters and they totally just get disintegrated.
Well, yeah,
Well,
they
they even have torpedoes that they're launching, and those things don't do anything. Like
Right.
you can put Robotech missiles on the helicopters. What you're doing this. This is
But yeah, like when they find out they're destroyed, like Global's like, yeah, well, anyways, on to the next thing. He knew that it was gonna happen.
He did not care about these helicopters. He's like, yep, well, that's what happens when you send the
That it was
helicopters
like
and
his pawns on the
then
board. Like these are gonna be my sacrifices when we find out where they are.
dude.
There's so
So,
much death in the show.
well, we're gonna get to we're gonna get more to that in a little bit here. But so the mayor of Macross City just comes in and he's just like, hey man, when are you taking off? You gonna take off? You gonna take when are you gonna take off? When are you gonna blast the ship? He wants these guys out of there so bad. Last episode, he's talking about how great they were for the economy. Now he just wants them gone. He's like, now that the military is doing military stuff, like, y'all gotta
Okay,
get
I
out of
heard
here.
Senator. I guess he's the mayor. I heard Senator in the
Did they say
episode.
senator? Because like
I think
he's
it's.
supposed to be, I think he's supposed to be the mayor of
Oh,
Macross
dude,
City.
it may have been early script stuff. Maybe they flubbed it or something. I could have sworn I heard Senator, but it makes more sense that he's the mayor. And he
No,
has
I
that.
mean, I didn't even hear either of those. I just got an immediately, oh, this is a politician looking out for
Oh, yeah.
himself. And
Oh
he
yeah.
has
Oh, he
that.
looks like a politician. He's
He does.
very much like a character of a politician.
He
So,
has that the voice in 80s cartoons of an old curmudgeon like a guy grifting. You're like, oh, we can't do the voice, but you know the voice when you hear it. All the
right.
old guys who had thought nothing but money, like I'm sure he was in a few episodes of Transformers. He was just all over the place. The
Right.
same dude. Of
Right.
course, he wants them to take off because it's probably going to bring a lot of fame to Macross City, but he doesn't want the destruction. I mean, there's already a jet in the middle of town.
Of course, it brings fame to him that the city was built around the Macross, this around the SDF-1. Of course, they're famous because it was it, they were the city was built to fix up a spaceship to pick up.
Don't try to understand politics, man. We're not with this kind of podcast. We can do another podcast, but this is just cartoons, dude. I don't want to hear
This
it.
is the microcosm of 19 of early 80s Japanese politics, I guess,
Thank
is
you,
you have
Reagan.
that guy with a weird mustache running things. So.
So yeah, the they're he's like, okay, let's do it. Is they start firing up the anti-gravity pods.
Oh, these things, oh, these rule. These like, yeah, so they've got like we find out later on these are like alien technology. These shipped with the ship. These are pack-ins you get from the.
Right.
It's like the software you get when you buy a new laptop and it's terrible and it makes your computer run real bad because they rip themselves out of the housing and they fly up into space and they're gone. This is pretty cool.
Like the SDF-1 lifts off a little bit and they rip out of the hull so they crash back down on Macross City.
crashes back down.
So yeah, it looks really good. Their maiden flight is a dud.
Like, well, I was about to say they never tested these things, but it's like they weren't ready to test these things yet
No,
because
they
I mean this whole thing is like a jump start, and that's fine. But
yeah.
we flash back to Rick, and this dude just cannot figure out this mech. Dude, he cannot drive this robot to save his life. He is like he's like falling backwards in the buildings and falling forwards in the buildings. He almost killed Minmay and Jason. Like this dude is as you guys
An
said, he's a
accident.
menace. He's a menace, dude. This dude,
Right.
this dude.
It's great though, the head comes down and the seats come up and like there's no one driving and the second seat comes up like, oh, he looks like he doesn't know what he's doing. He looks confused. Maybe he got a hit on the head. No, he's just 16 years old and he has no idea why he's there.
Right. He's a carny. He's a carny in a toxic military device. Cut him some slack, guys.
He doesn't know the three levers.
Right.
Not yet anyway. We're gonna get a lesson in the in that. But
There was a
I will
really
say that all the close-ups of the of Rick's Veritech here are actually pretty cool.
Oh yeah.
They give like a lot of close-ups of how a lot of the things work in it. I thought it was kind of neat. Rick does wreck a place called the Fancy Shop though, and that's a cool place. That's where I want to go to the Fancy
I
Shop.
imagine there was a lot of real nice china in the fancy shop that's just
Well,
ruined.
it's that stuff is destroyed, man. Like, poor Macross Insurance Agency. Those dudes are writing checks, man. Those dudes are just right. Those guys are out of business right now,
Now
man. So.
that I actually work for an insurance company, yeah, they would be like, we're canceling all your policies. This is too much, man. We can't cover anything on Macross Island. Sorry, we're leaving.
Does your writer cover giant robots from
Well, if you
space.
got the rider on that, yeah, it does. You make
Yeah.
sure you have a
If you
giant
specifically
robot
had it,
rider.
what if it
Alien
didn't
attack
have it?
rider would help as well.
What if it didn't have it?
No.
You just don't get it? It's like flood insurance. Oh, you got a hurricane.
Well,
We need
yeah, but
flood insurance.
who's FEMA for Macross Island, really, man? Come on.
Oh, God.
So the whole thing with like him crashing into the building, they have like four, I don't know, I guess freight trucks pull him out on ropes to stand up straight.
Right.
He is a menace. The whole town's coming together to pull him out of buildings. Just don't touch anything else. Stay there, stay there, stay there.
Yeah,
But
and it's not because they love him. They're like, this guy, we've got to get him out of here.
he's a
He's
menace.
ruining the whole neighborhood.
We got to drive a
100%.
truck through the street. There's a giant robot on the way. There's no other streets. You can't turn. There's no other streets. He's got the main thoroughfare taken up with this giant robot, with this thing.
There's they radio that to Roy that like there's like the VFO 102 is down in the city. Can you help him? And he looks at him like, oh yeah. Yeah, I know who that is. Let me go see him. And he goes down to teach, give Rick
Of course.
the dime tour of how to operate a Veritech fighter. Hey, wait, what
Specifically, he
about?
says when they ask, why is this guy in there? He says, it's okay, I know him. Because that's how the military works.
Again, the top secret stuff
Yeah,
too.
it's top secret, but it's okay, I know him.
I know
I know
him.
this carny.
And to quote you, Jehu, the Smurf and top secret Air Force Space Force. Yeah, it's cool. I know we go way back. It's fine.
It's fine. I know him.
He's cool
But
here.
essentially, that's also how the US government works right now. So it's not much of a stretch right now. So
Right. Yeah,
in
that's
daily
true.
life, like, it's fine. It's fine. I know a guy.
He's cool with me,
So
Pat.
I will say, on a serious note, that the Skull Leader Veritech is quite possibly the best mech of all time.
Oh,
Oh,
100%.
100%. And it's funny because when I started this, is I was like, when is the first time I'm going to hear the term skull leader? And as soon as they said it, I marked for it, man. I love that. I love hearing skull leader.
Well,
it's cool. I should have built him up and transformed him, but I have a Skull Leader sitting over on
a
my
yellowed skull leader.
He's a little bit yellow. He's not too
Yeah.
too bad,
He
but
was so cool that they used that same head and same form for Jetfire.
yeah.
That's how good he was. They were like, this is the best Veritech in the show. We're gonna bring it over and make it Jetfire because only the best Transformers. But
I mean, if I was gonna rip off any from it, I would rip that one. But man, dude, so oh my God. So like Rick is trying to get slick with Minmay again, and she just goes, "We're being evacuated. See you later." It's the most nonchalant, like she's basically like the human version of like Hello Kitty is the best way I can describe
Oh yeah,
Minmay.
that's extremely apt. And then like Roy gives Rick so much flack about, you know, your girlfriend's leaving and you want to get check on her.
And what I love is Rick was like he doesn't like bristle at that at all. He just immediately was like, okay, I do want to
Yeah,
check on her. She
I
is
should
my
check on her.
girlfriend. This lady who I just met and got berated by the kid she's babysitting.
And almost
I mean,
killed.
look, he feels a little spark there, but like man, so but here's like I'm gonna throw some numbers at you guys here for a second. So like like in the last episode we talked about how old they were, and I looked it up. I busted out the Art of Robotech. I busted out the RPG. I looked it up. So, but like. So, there's a conceit in anime that like mechs get stolen or accidentally piloted by teenagers, like in like Gundam or basically in
Right.
any 70s, 80s anime, like Transor Z or Gigantor or whatever.
Right.
There's always like a kid doing
Look
this
at
stuff, which, whatever. That's because, when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I can fly a giant robot too.
that.
So
Right. Hey.
I'm gonna go buy that robot
You
toy. But
might call that a trope.
so oh, man, this is in the Robotech timeline. I'm not really sure about the Macross timeline, but okay. So I looked it up, and Rick is 19 years old here. In Robotech, Rick is 19 years old. Roy is 30 at this point. This is at the beginning of Robotech, the Macross saga. Rick is 19, Roy is 30. That makes sense Like Roy was like his, like the head, he was the big brother
Right.
figure. That's a good timeline for him to be it, for be a mentor. Minmay, and I'm quoting this. This is a quote from the book that I found it in. At the beginning of the Macross saga, Minmay is almost 16. Minmay is almost 16. So she's 15 years old. I'm gonna like, because almost 16, that's how Republicans talk. That's how libertarians talk when they want to turn around ages and stuff. I
She
don't like that.
may as well be 16 at this point. You know, she's
Yeah,
almost
this is
16.
like a young woman. No, this is a child. She's
She
15 years old.
she's old for her age.
So, oh, she's an old soul. Like,
She's an old
okay. She's
soul.
real mature for her age. So, but Roy Fokker is 30 years old.
Yeah,
He
you
is.
know, I gotta
Okay.
put that in
And
perspective for people. Honestly, all right, you go ahead. I'm gonna bring that bring come back to the Roy Fokker mean 30, but go ahead.
in the fictional character Roy Fokker's defense here, like I know he's just messing with
Oh, yeah.
Rick and this whole thing because he's dating Claudia,
Right.
but it's still creepy.
A party girl.
It's still, oh, she
Well,
loves part it
you know,
established that.
you do have to think though. I mean, in the 80s, you know, that I mean, we would all agree that was wrong, but it was like less wrong then, and that's in America. In Japan,
Japan,
we had
there's no.
dropped two atomic bombs on those guys. You know, they had they were working through some stuff. I'm gonna give them a pass on this. I'm not saying it's good. I'm just saying they were working through some stuff, and I bet they're better now.
That, folks.
Well,
Jehu is really cool with the Romeo and Juliet thing going on here with Roy Fokker and an underage 16-year, almost 16-year-old.
you know, also I
I'm
gotta
gonna.
make some excuses because I'm a big Seinfeld fan. You
Oh,
know.
I'm
Seinfeld, who
gonna.
was famous in a time when you could meet a 17-year-old and go close enough.
I'm gonna. Man, I'm not gonna defend any of that, but I am gonna say that I'm a big fan of myself. I'm also a big fan of my mom and dad. And my mom and dad met and started dating and got married when my dad was 25. And my mom was, take a wild guess how old my mom was.
16?
She was the same age as Lin Minmay. She was 15 when I got
Almost 16.
her.
Almost
I mean,
16.
again, I know it's a cop out to say this, but different time. We've
Oh, yeah.
changed, and I
I
think
mean,
we've changed
yeah,
for the
this was.
better, but you can't spend your whole life relitigating the past.
I mean, that was
No.
also 1970. Not that it's an
Right, yeah.
excuse, but I mean, whatever, dude.
It's amazing how much different that thing. It's 50 years ago, by the way. So, in case anyone who feels old yet, yeah, it's 50 years ago.
Shut your mouth.
Yeah, exactly. No, I
I
get it.
mean, and if you think about it like that, that means it's just as close to 1920 as it is now. You
Yes.
know?
Yes. Thank you.
You
So I
know?
gotta say real quick, the Roy Fokker being 30. Do you remember what it was like when you were a kid and you're like, man, my parents are old? I remember I remember as a little kid and I'm like, man, my parents are 35. God, that's so old. Now
Right.
I look back at that going like, God, I remember how like better things were when I was 30.
Oh God, I remember everything worked right when I was
Was
30.
30. I could get out of bed and not worry about anything when I was 30.
Right. I
Now I
could
wake up and going,
sit
oh God.
Indian style. When's the last time you guys sat Indian
It
style?
sucks.
I
I
can't.
did the other day and it ruined my entire smurfing day. I couldn't walk right for the rest of the smurfing day. My wife loves to sit that way. I try and I walk around like weird after, like, oh, dude.
Well,
I
I mean,
mean,
it pops my left knee out of the socket. I can't do it. I have to sit in a half lotus.
Sarah does yoga like 7 days a week, so she can just do so many more things than I can.
That's old guy problems.
I had a dude. I used to be able to sit like that on a regular basis, but in jujitsu, I had a guy decide he wanted to break my guard with an elbow to my knee, and it just hasn't worked the same since then. So,
I actually remember
but
that. That happened. I remember that when that happened. Yeah.
that was real bad. We see how accurate the Zentradi ships are from space. Like they rain down lasers and they level this city, but they do not hit the SDF-1 at all. They're like spare the battle fortress. Don't hit the battle fortress. But
Right.
they level from the moon. They say they are in a lunar orbit, so they shoot it from the moon to Earth on an island, and and they leave a 3/4 mile spaceship intact. They don't hit it at all. This is great. These guys rule. And we get like full attack from them, and this is awesome. But there's a really cool scene where Minmay is like running away, and there's a like a Zentradi battle pod is coming, and it almost like steps on her. It's a very cool shot. It's a real cool, real iconic shot from this. That was real cool. I felt like I had to get that.
Right. Yeah, is
So,
that where Roy and Rick Saver?
yeah. So, yeah, this is the thing where Roy's going to fight, so he tells Rick to save her, and he goes into like guardian mode and picks her up with the hand of the
Yeah.
thing, and that was that there's some hijinks ensue there because like he takes off and they get shot off, and they do this weird like midair thing where
Yeah.
like he opens the canopy and grabs her from the hand. This is cool though.
It is that's another iconic style shot from anime. I want to say there's another one I'm trying to remember where it's a whole thing where like you open the cockpit in midair and grab, you reach hand out, grab, pull someone in the cockpit. It's done in some other things. I cannot remember which ones right now, but I recognize that as like iconic style of a shot.
Well, and you guys grazed over, and this is even creepier now with Ed's age revelation.
Oh
But there
no.
was definitely a flying upskirt.
Yeah, dude. I think I blocked it out. I think I blocked it. I think I
I
blocked
think
it.
I, your brain does a blur thing when you're like, okay, it's just gonna make it right. I'm not gonna see that.
Man, yeah, it was.
It pulls her into the ship, and she's back there, literally backseat driving him, trying to
She is.
like fight in this thing. He's escaping missiles and
To be
lasers.
fair, she knows about as much about this ship as he does.
He knows how the pedals work now.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, he knows the three levers. He knows the
Right.
B, G, and F pedals or levers. There's a th this we get this action movie here, which is like I swear to God, it is almost note for note the Thundercats theme.
Yeah.
Like listen to that, and then listen to the Thundercats theme, or just listen to the Robotech, listen to the action music in Robotech, and just sing. Thundercats are on the loose. Thundercats are on the move. Thundercats are loose over it. And
It's funny you
it's
say
like,
that
feel the
because
power,
there's a
feel the
piece of
war.
music I keep waiting to hear, and I realized about halfway through this episode, oh, it's the Voltron theme. I'm not going to hear this on this. I would
No.
hear that on Voltron.
Well, I mean, this is the one
Oh, I need
with
to
what,
address.
three or four
Oh,
songs?
before we go, I need to address Voltron at the end of the show. But yeah, anyway. Anyway.
Okay.
So yeah, like So this battle pod lands in front of Rick, and this he just unloads on this thing with the gun, like the rifle, or whatever. And I mean, he like dumps the mag into this dude, and
Right.
until he click, it clicks, and this is really cool. But then we get the big reveal. We talked about this in the last episode, but like the battle pod opens up, and a giant gets out of it. And
Right.
he's like
A
50
ginger
feet tall.
giant.
So he's like a 50. Yeah, he's like a 50-foot tall alien. And this is and like Rick is terrified here. This is super cool. And here comes Roy, the avenging angel of vengeance, comes in and just totally shoots this dude in the back and kills this guy like right in front of Rick. And like so, 1985 or a kid's cartoon. This was a pretty graphic thing.
Oh yeah.
Like so Rick goes like full RoboCop on this on this thing. He just magnums him, and then Roy shoots the dude in the back, and they show the whole thing. It's not like off screen. It happens
Oh.
right there. And this is before RoboCop, where they had to like edit a scene of Ed 209 doing the same thing. Or this is way before Dragon Ball Z, where they had to like edit it out. This like they're like dead characters with halos because they were dead, and they had to all. They're not in. They're in another dimension. That's why they have the Halo one. They had to edit that, but this was fine.
And there's visible like I think they make the blood look like more purplish, but there's blood coming out of the holes in the back his back and back of his arm.
I'm pretty sure that's how it was in Macross, though. I think that I'm pretty sure that they had purple blood in Macross.
Yeah, the
But
giant ginger gets out, he's like murr. So then he takes off his head and head
Yeah, this was
helmet.
yeah, this was that, that was a pretty intense scene because and like you know what and you know like I said before that one of the big selling points of this when kids were telling me oh I guess Robotech dude people die in it and it's just like yeah they sure do like
Right.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, like a plane, like the earlier the helicopters get shot down, and you're like, well, like, oh, okay, well, you know, they got shot down, they're
I
all
mean,
like,
they could have G.I. Joe ejected, you know.
right, exactly.
Yeah,
But this just gets killed. This is like,
this solves another mystery from my notes because I just wrote cold-blooded. Now I remember it's because Roy shoots this giant dude in the back and like does not care 1 second. He's just immediately like, oh, and then also immediately starts revealing the top secret stuff. See, this is why they transform into giant robots because they're big. Now
Yeah.
you know all our secrets. Now you have to be in the military.
But it's
What
okay
about
because
him?
he knows them.
Maybe
He knows this guy.
Ironman, maybe
We
you
were
gotta
in
join
the circus
the
together. The notoriously honest profession of circus.
Well, I mean, Roy was in the circus too, so I mean, you know, I
That's what I'm
mean,
saying. They were in it together. He should know. You
right.
can't trust carnies, can't even trust other carnies.
You're here, folks. You heard it here first.
Man. No. So Rick just goes catatonic here, and that was the episode.
Well, dude, to be fair, a lot happened in that episode. And his girlfriend almost died, arm shot off. He shot up a battle pod. And the way he shot it was like he had this rifle. He's like shooting everywhere around it. And he happened to hit a few shots on the battle pod, by the way.
He got
He
enough.
emptied the clip.
He got enough. He got enough. Yeah. So how are you guys feeling? How are you guys feeling about this one?
I love the animation, honestly. Well, we should go. Like, go ahead and go in the order, man. You go ahead, Jay.
Oh, yeah, I'll go for it. You know, it's funny. I gave the last one a pretty high rating, but I think it was just because of the nostalgia of seeing this for the first time in so long. This episode was so much better. I'm gonna give this 5 out of 5 cold shooting a giant in the backs. Like this is a this was really great. I loved everything about it. I loved the brick robot. I love that we've just met her, but Minmay having to go back into the end of the world to retrieve her diary is the most
Oh my
Minmay
God.
thing. Oh my
We forgot to
God.
talk about that. Yeah, we
I
forgot
couldn't
to
read
talk
my
about it.
diary.
Yeah, that she had to go get her diary because yeah, she was afraid somebody might read it. Like
Yeah.
there's spaceships shooting up the city to
Right.
level it.
The world
There's not
is
gonna be a
ending.
diary left, you know, like, but she's gotta get that diary. Because she's Hello Kitty. She's the walking Hello Kitty. Put some
But no,
perspective.
I 100% loved this episode. This one, the first episode, you know, again, I enjoyed it, but I was like, I don't know, is like 30 episodes of this going to be fun? After this one, yes, 30 episodes of this is going to be fun.
Yeah, man, honestly, my favorite part of the episode was seeing the guns come out of the Zentradi warships because the animation on those was so good. It is clean looking animation, and it's the kind of animation you see nowadays. They took such detail on the Zentradi cannons coming out of the side of the ships. And yeah, like you said, like shooting up an entire city. Honestly, this episode was Rick not knowing how to pilot a Veritech. Which is fine because you get
Right.
exposition worked into the show with a good reason. I'm always a fan of that. And
Yeah.
I'm always a fan of mayors or senators, whoever they are, being the worst character in the entire series and making things go badly. I mean, it worked in Jaws, it works in Robotech. Let's
I was just about to say he's totally the mayor from
Oh
Jaws.
yeah, he's
Like
like,
he's that exact same
you can't close the beach. You gotta
dude.
take off.
We're not closing the Battle Fortress. We're not closing the battle.
No, this
Right.
is not on the 4th of July, not on Macross Day. Yeah, so honestly, it was a great episode, and I want to save that last half a percentage for like when I really get blown away. But honestly, I'm gonna give this thing 4.5 terrible politicians out of five. And Ed, please.
This was good. But I feel like they're still sort of drip feeding what makes Robotech great, because that was the thing that we said last time, was that like it was good, but it was good because we know what's coming up. It wasn't so
Right.
much like and like I said last time, that if I saw that as a kid, like I'm not sure that I would have gone to school the next day and like raved to my friends about how cool it was.
Right.
But I like this a lot, and it builds on the previous episode, and you see the story start to unfold here. That's what's really cool about this, is that you know more things are happening. And you're like, oh, you know, you get the reveal of the the reveal of the giant aliens. You get some really big battles here, some cool battles, and they were so and we kind of glossed over the battles, but there were some cool battles with
Oh yeah.
the Veritex and
Yeah.
the Zentradi battle pods, almost to where I don't want to say it was an afterthought, but it was like it was just so like it was like this episode moved kind of fast, and there was a lot going on. I don't feel like it was too much, but it was just like, by the time you're done, you're just kind of like, man, that was wow, like that was a ride. But you got some intrigue with Rick and Minmay, and that was cool. You get a little more flirting with Roy and Claudia over the intercoms with the fighters and all that. But what's really cool to me now is that this is the episode where they start to kind of address like the horror of war stuff with
Right.
like panic shooting that Zentradi, and then he goes into like full shock at the end of it.
Right,
He
yeah.
just can't do anything. And I thought that was really cool. I like that. And that's a pretty heavy topic for for a cartoon, even though you made a really good point a while back, and this is something that's stuck in my brain, is that when you're a kid, you don't want things that are for babies.
Right.
You want things that seem cooler than you are at the
Right.
time. And this is definitely written at a higher level. This is definitely written for like like 17-year-old kids, I feel like. I feel
Right.
like if I watched this when I was 10, I would have been like, oh man, this is like, this is for kids that are smarter than me and the older than me. This is like, first time I read Swamp Thing, I was like, ooh,
Right.
man, like I'm not ready for this. See, I read Swamp Thing, I'm 50, I read Swamp Thing now, and I'm like, man, this is for people that are cooler than me. And I'm like, I'm pretty cool, but I'm like, I
Yeah.
don't know, man, like this is, but
I mean, I think you hit on something there, which is Spike doesn't go into shock, you know? Sparkplug has seen some stuff and he doesn't go into shock. That is something that I didn't even think about it till you said it, but that is really something that sets us apart, that at the end of this, he's in shock from the horror he's seen.
That's a big deal. Like I said, that's a heavy topic for especially for a cartoon that they're aiming towards kids, even though Japanese shows were, I think this is tech was technically probably aimed at like older teenagers. And
Right.
When it first came out, but my kid brain would have been really intrigued with this, since the stakes get raised like a ton here. Like the whole city gets leveled, and like, man, there's all this cool aerial fight and all this stuff. So a kid brain's gonna go would have really liked it, and I would have been really intrigued. But it's again, like I said, it's still kind of drip feeding what makes Robotech Robotech. Kid brain goes 3.5 fancy shops out of 5, and that's not an insult at all. I'm like, okay, I'm more on board now than I was before. But adult brain on this, I am all in, and I was really excited about to watch this episode. It's ramping up exactly like I want it, but also I know we have a bad episode coming up, that makes me savor this one a little bit more. But it's had everything I wanted. It had heavy topics. It had cool robot fights. It had the big reveal, the dun 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 moment. So Adult Brain is just gonna have to slam dunk this one at 5. Abraham Lincoln's at the high school history presentation out of
Party
5.
on, dudes.
Party on, dude.
I don't know enough of the episodes to really know when they were coming on bad ones, so I feel kind of excited because I knew all the bad Transformers episodes and I was like, oh, here it comes. Now you're in that seat and I get to like wait for
Right.
it. Well, I mean, that is funny because I don't remember disliking any Robotech episodes as a kid, but I'm
Okay.
probably just not remembering it as well as
Well,
I.
okay. So there's one coming up that I've tried to like over the years, I've like like okay, I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna watch all of Robotech, I'm gonna watch the whole thing start to finish, and there's one episode early on in Macross where one of two things happens every time. Either I get to that episode and I'm like, I hate this, I don't want to, like I'm done, I'm not gonna pick back up, I'm bored with this, or I skip over it every time. And so, but and I don't think it's the next episode. I think it's the episode after that. I think it's episode 4. But so I mean, we're just gonna plow through it, and
Right,
talk,
yeah.
and that's fine. That's but but yeah.
As soon as Minmay sings, my boyfriend is a pilot now, I check out. So I'm waiting for that time.
I'm definitely not looking forward to the singing. I was embarrassed by it when I was a kid, and I feel like that can't be better as a as an older person.
Matt Cross loves her singing Idols.
I mean, what's funny about that is that not to give too much away, but Min May becomes like an idol, like an idol singer.
Right.
That's basically just how music is now, though.
Oh yeah.
Right, no.
One of my friends went to took his kids to a movie called K-Pop Demon Hunters, and it
I've
was a
heard all
sing-along.
about that.
It was a sing-along. Like they had like the thing, like you go to the movie theater and you sing along with these K-pop things, and I'm like, well, but I hear this stuff, people just go nuts for it, and Stray Kids or a BTK, or is it B, not B, not BTK, because that's the serial
That's
killer.
completely
What are they
different.
called? What are they called? What's that
I know
called?
exactly what you're
I
talking
know
about.
exactly what you're talking about, but I don't. It's B something.
It's not. Yeah,
I'm just gonna call him BTK because I think, as I like that, because I think
way
that's
different
funny.
guy, but
I
okay.
feel real dumb, but BTK. But feel free to correct me, fans out there. But that's that. Every time I hear that stuff, I'm like, oh, this is just anime singing. This is just Minmay is all this, all of it,
Yeah.
like all of it. And I had somebody like a while back, I'm a big like I'm on the show. I'll talk about that. I love pro wrestling, and
What?
specifically, I love Japanese pro wrestling, and I love this dude Minoru Suzuki, who is he's an old school MMA fighter that got into pro wrestling, or he did both for a long time, but he was also in the anime. He's been in the anime One Piece because he's a massive fan of One Piece. And this dude's older than me. This dude's like 55 or something like that. But he's like actively in One Piece to this day. But when he was a kid, he loved this one singer. And eventually, as he got famous, he became friends with her, and he got her to sing him a song. And so I was like, man, you got to hear Minoru Suzuki's theme. It's great. And then put it on, and I'm like, this is literally Minmay singing over the, and it's note for note the bass line from "You Give Love a Bad Name" by Bon Jovi, and I'm like, what is this? Why are you gonna send me this?
Amazing.
I wanted to address Voltron though. We got a really nice fan. We got a really really nice fan letter. From some, from, I can't remember the guy's name, but it was a really good letter, and I was real happy to hear from somebody that just stumbled across the show. I thought that was really cool, but I don't want there to be like a rumor out there that I don't like Voltron, because I don't like I like I like I liked Voltron when I was I loved Voltron when I was a kid. I still like looking at Voltron, like looking at the toy of Voltron. I think he's great. I think it's awesome. It's just going back and watching those shows is a rough watch. So I choose not to watch them anymore, because so as not to tarnish the memories. Because I tried to watch like one episode. It did not age well. But
I
in
love.
my mind, I love it. I love the memories of Voltron.
I
So.
feel like I might have told you this before, Ed, but maybe not. Voltron plays a part in me first realizing that pro wrestling was staged.
Really?
So I used to, as a kid, and I loved Voltron, but I was always like, well, if the solution is forming Blazing Sword, why don't
Why
they
don't you
just
just
show up with Blazing
with the blazing
Sword?
sword, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you just do your finisher right out of the gate, right?
For some reason, I was watching. It was like, I think you probably remember this, that like after Saturday morning cartoons, there would be wrestling on after it. And
I'll go through the full lineup for you when you're done. But yeah, go ahead. So.
but I remember watching a Ric Flair match and thinking, this is like Voltron. Like every time he goes for the top rope move, he never makes it. He's never going to make the top rope move. It's part of the show that he doesn't
He
make the
doesn't make the
top
yeah, he
rope
doesn't make
move.
the top rope move. Yeah.
And then
No,
it was after
I'm
that
hope
that I noticed that he always flips over
over the ropes.
the
Yeah, it's the
turnbuckle
same.
and
Yeah,
runs back across and
it's
stuff.
the same set
But
move.
I remember having that thought as a kid. And now that I say it out loud, it isn't actually that much like Voltron. But I just remembered thinking, oh, this is part of the show, like Blazing Sword is. It happens at this point, because it's supposed to happen at this point.
Well, no, it makes sense because you're like, okay, why don't you show up with the blazing sword? And like, so why don't, like, if like in wrestling, if the Stone Cold Stunner is your best move, why don't you just do that move over and over again? That's your only move. Just do it over and over again.
Particularly since he's shown he can just spring it on people.
Okay, so here's the thing though, is that do you know who Chris Hero is? You ever heard of Chris Hero? Okay, I love Chris. Chris Hero is fantastic, and I have a personal story about Chris Hero that I'll tell one day if anyone's ever interested. But he has this. So in wrestling, there's a move called the vertical suplex, where you put a dude in a front headlock, you put his arm over your head, you grab his underwear, and you pick him up straight, right? And then you fall backwards, and you both fall on your backs, right? Okay, but there's also a move called the vertical brainbuster, or just the brainbuster, or the sheer drop brainbuster, where you pick this setup, but you drop the dude straight down. You fall on your back, and you drop the dude straight down on his head. So
It
Chris Hero
should be
said
the
in an
most
interview, like,
devastating move in wrestling.
it should be the most devastating move in wrestling. But the thing is, Chris Hero said he said one time on like an interview where he was like, "Why would you ever go for the suplex when you can do if you have him set up for the suplex, just do the brainbuster." And so if you watch his matches, he only does the brain, but he doesn't do a suplex. I'm like, well, that's genius. Like, you got him up, just do the more devastating move. It's gonna do more damage. And I'm like, God, what's up? Finally, some logic came in wrestling. So yeah.
I jump here real quick and say the guy he rode was Adam, and I'm gonna mangle his last name, Libby
Don't say his last
Houston.
name. Don't say his last name. Don't dox him.
Libby Houston? Adam. Hey, thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Adam. That was
Thanks,
that
Adam,
was
who
a
doesn't
really
have a
cool.
last name.
Doesn't have a last, he's just Adam. So
He's like Prince.
sure.
He
Adam
is the
Brainbuster.
Adam. Adam Brainbuster is a pretty
Brainbuster.
awesome
That's a great
wrestling
name.
name.
That's a great name. So yeah. Thanks, Adam. We appreciate you. We
Yeah,
appreciate
definitely. That was really cool to get.
you.
I'm going to call it here because we're going to ramble for a while, which we can and will do. Guys, thanks for checking us out this week. Episode 2 is in the can, and then there's a lot more good stuff to come, and I can't wait for the bad episodes because I'm going to rag on you so hard when we get to the
It's
bad
gonna be
episodes.
rough. It's gonna be rough.
Is it
So,
going to be the girl who loved Paraglide bad? Be
I
honest.
think I feel like it was more to make fun of than Girl Who Loved
Well,
Powerglide.
yeah, of course it
I
was.
think that, I think the tuna fish episode is really is gonna be a little rough. So,
Nice. Can't
yeah.
wait for the tuna fish episode. All right,
All right.
y'all take it easy. Have a great week. And Ed, I didn't come up with anything to bring up for like a way to end this, so I'm gonna rely on you for this one again.
I'm just gonna say, rest in peace, Brent Hines, and I'm real bummed out about that. So,
Oh, I see. I see.
yeah, I didn't hear from you about that, Ed, because we usually converse when people are dead, and I assume that it must have been such a bummer that you just didn't want to talk about it.
It's been like an epic bummer, and I'll just have to message you offline about it. So,
Right on.
all right,
Yeah.
later,
Y'all take it
guys.
easy. Have a great
Later.
week. Thanks a lot for being here. Bye. More Than Meets These Guys, a Transformers podcast, is performed by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Research is done by Evan Johns, Boo of the AxelonUnderground.com, and Ed Strickland. Special thanks to Hasbro, Marvel, Skybound, and the occasional extra property, which we will name at whatever time is appropriate for that episode. And without all of you, this is really not even possible. So thanks for being here, and thanks for checking us out every week. Goodbye.